This is Ozarks at Large for Wednesday, May 2nd, 2012. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Support for KUAF is provided by contributing listeners and by Northwest Arkansas Business Journal, featuring young professionals, the Fast 15, and networking events, plus other local business news in Northwest Arkansas. The current edition is available at 725-0394 or nwabusinessjournal.com to register for daily business e-news or for more information. KUAF is also supported by Ben Owens Shelter Insurance Agency, providing auto, home, and life insurance. 582-4990 for more information. Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, Northwest Technical Institute and Northwest Arkansas Community College construct an agreement which will allow NTI students to transfer credit. Plus, we check in on the owners of the historic Grandview Hotel in Berryville. They reopened the hotel 5 years ago, but the economic recession and illness have taken a financial toll, so we find out what's next. And Terra Studios prepares to celebrate World Labyrinth Day this Saturday. But first, a few other items of note. State officials are preparing for an expected Medicaid shortfall of between $250 and $400 million. In an interview yesterday with Roby Brock of TalkBusiness.net, Governor Mike Beebe echoed comments from the Director of Human Services, saying that changes are needed in how and when doctors are paid for services they provide. But Beebe says more will need to be done.
If we can improve what we're doing so that we slow that growth, that's not just removing the entire problem of still having huge Medicaid needs that we don't currently have the revenue to be able to fully fund.
Reduced services still on the table, yes or no?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's always an option.
Raising taxes still on the table.
Nobody has come with anything specific about that. Theoretically, it's always an option, but it's not anything that I have planned or that I've heard from the legislature.
Without state funding, officials warn the state could lose up to $900 million in federal matching funds, creating a potential gap of $1.3 billion for Medicaid. 5 tons of potentially harmful prescription drugs are now out of Arkansas homes and will soon be incinerated. Attorney General Dustin McDaniel joined with other law enforcement officials Tuesday to announce that more than 10,000 pounds of unwanted and expired prescription drugs had been collected last week during the state's fourth Prescription Drug Take-Back Day. McDaniel says Arkansas has one of the highest rates of teenagers who abuse prescription drugs.
The number one source of prescription drugs taken for non-medicinal use is from the medicine cabinets of friends and family members. Therefore, it is essential that we eliminate this easy access for abusers to these drugs.
Arkansas Drug Director Fern Fleener says the events have raised awareness about the state's prescription drug abuse problems.
We're making some progress. Our surveys that we conduct throughout the state of Arkansas in the last 3 years, in 27 of the 30 measures that we look at, we're getting a slight decrease among our young people in this problem. Our job is definitely not over.
Since the first take-back event in 2010, the state has collected more than 17 tons of prescription drugs. McDaniel says the drugs are disposed of without contaminating landfills or water supplies. Arkansas County courthouses are among those listed as endangered historical sites. Vanessa McEwen is the director of the state's Historic Preservation Alliance that announced a list of 10 sites yesterday that have significant historic importance and may be lost. Vanessa says there is a grant program designated for repairing the historic courthouses.
This last year there was a requested amount of about $4 million for $4.6 million for all of the county courthouses in that grant program. And the agency had less than $760,000 to give out to meet that need. So it's just really, in that case, a serious lack of funding.
Among other sites that are deteriorating or have been neglected and were on the list include the Montanay and Oklahoma Row Hotel in Montanay and the Holloway House in Hiwassee. More than 100 volunteers are needed for the Walmart Northwest Arkansas Championship presented by P&G. It's an official LPGA tour stop, which will be in Rogers June 25th through July 1st. Golf knowledge is not required. The volunteer fee is $45 and includes two Callaway golf shirts and headwear featuring the tournament logos, a volunteer badge valid for week-long tournament access and parking, 4 weekly grounds tickets for guests of the volunteer's choice, an invitation to the annual volunteer appreciation party, and meals and beverages during assigned shifts. Employees from Walmart and P&G, as well as Pinnacle Country Club members, are eligible for a discounted registration fee. Those who register now can also receive a 20% discount off their purchase at CallawayGolf.com. More information is available at NWAChampionship.com. The date for the University of Arkansas versus LSU football game has been moved. It was announced today that the Razorbacks will end their 2012 regular season on Friday, November 23rd against LSU in a game televised nationally on CBS. The Razorbacks and Tigers are set to square off in the annual Battle for the Boot on the Friday after Thanksgiving for the second year in a row and the 15th time in the last 17 years. Arkansas has won 3 of the last 5 meetings between the two teams, including 2 straight at home. The LSU game is the final of 8 in-state contests on the 2012 schedule and will be played in Fayetteville for the first time since 1992. Derek Bleeker went 3-for-3 with 2 RBI and 2 runs scored to lead number 18 Arkansas to a 6-3 win over Missouri last night at Baum Stadium. Arkansas improves to 32-13 with the win, while Missouri drops to 23-20 with the loss. Arkansas and Missouri conclude the 2-game midweek series this afternoon with first pitch scheduled for 3:05. The Razorbacks will start redshirt junior left-handed pitcher Trent Daniel, while Missouri will start freshman righty John Miles. 2 Northwest Arkansas Naturals homered, but their efforts weren't enough as the Nats fell to the Springfield Cardinals 12-5 last night at Hammonds Field. The second game of the 4-game series is currently in progress. After wrapping up their series against the Cardinals, the Nats will head back to Arvest Ballpark Saturday for a 4-game homestand against the Tulsa Drillers.
Here today. This is a very auspicious occasion for NTI. We've been around a long time, and in the last 2 years, we have enjoyed an incredible relationship with Northwest Arkansas Community College.
Yesterday, Keith Peterson, Vice President of Instruction at Northwest Technical Institute in Springdale, welcomed a room full of students and faculty members who had gathered inside the Student Center to witness the signing of an articulation agreement between NTI and Northwest Arkansas Community College.
The students at Northwest Technical Institute are diploma track programs. We do 11 to 18 month career training in which they get trained to go specifically directly from our school into work. The articulation agreement that we have today is going to allow the students who are up at NTI to transfer up to 30 credit hours of elective credit to an Associates of General Studies at Northwest Arkansas Community College. And that's relatively significant for both schools. This allows our students to open themselves up for additional avenues of financial aid, but actually make the decision after they leave NTI whether they want to go directly to the workforce or continue their education on a degree track program. So for the first time in our 37-year history, our students now have that option, and that's largely in part to the very positive relationship that we share with Northwest Arkansas Community College.
Since 1975, NTI has served the area by offering 3 types of programs: adult education, community education, and diploma programs. Automotive service technology, electronics technology, practical nursing, and surgical technology are among the diploma programs offered by the institution. In addition to Peterson, Dr. George Birch, president of NTI, was on hand to represent the institute. Northwest Arkansas Community College representatives included Dr. Diana Johnson, Executive Director of High School Relations, and Dr. Stephen Gates, Senior Vice President for Learning and Provost.
Without a well-educated, well-trained, well-equipped workforce, none of the goals that Northwest Arkansas might have can be achieved. Because every organization, every company, if you look at its profile, it needs a full range of employees with skills, from those who have 2 years or less with a certificate, from those who may have a bachelor's or a master's. The highest percentage of those jobs in demand, in need, require 2 years or less. Those are the people who make things work, who run the machines, who tune the programs, who run the equipment, who run the business. The management sometimes just gets too much of the credit. You need that whole profile to make things work. We were able to provide those students with this transfer agreement about 30 hours of credit towards this AGS degree. We don't know yet how many lives that will be impacted by this, but we certainly know that dozens of students have asked Mr. Peterson about the possibility, and we're very excited about what's going to happen now and in the future. The arrangement provides additional opportunities for dozens of students or hundreds of students. It's worthwhile. And we don't care how big or how small the initiative is. We're willing to work with you and your leadership team to make more of these things possible.
Peterson explains NTI has had a relationship with Northwest Arkansas Community College throughout the years. One example of the two institutions working together is the Secondary Career Center, which offers vocational training and education to high school students who can then receive articulated credit.
In the last year, we've kind of flip-flopped roles in that we've taken over sort of primary administration of the Secondary Career Center, but we work just 100% directly with NWAC still in making that happen. They offer over half the instruction that takes place in the context of that career center. So our relationship goes back, you know, well past 6 years just on the career center alone. But that's burgeoned in the last year with the career center and then with all of the positive momentum we have in the area. With post-secondary institutions sort of cooperating, this articulation agreement was born out of that. So this has been about a year in the making on this particular agreement because there are a lot of steps that you have to take to get to that point, and a lot of boards that have to approve a lot of things. But after a long time of discussion and working out several iterations of what the agreement would look at, we finally settled upon one, and today's announcement is all about that achievement.
Peterson says the agreement is effective immediately, so all NTI students wrapping up their studies this semester are eligible to transfer their credits. He says there are still a few programs that need to have some details worked out, but students enrolled in the majority of the programs offered at NTI will be able to take advantage of this new agreement. Peterson explains this is not what would typically be considered a one-to-one articulation agreement, and he uses the automotive program to illustrate his point.
If we teach automotive here, they don't necessarily have an automotive program at NWAC for that to transfer to. Where if you would take history at NWAC, it would transfer to history at the University of Arkansas. Well, because we don't have that one-to-one course offering relationship, what we have is elective credit. So NWAC is essentially accepting out of a diploma student, a graduate of NTI, instead of trying to figure out which course correlates, we put it into an Associates of General Studies. And the credits that they're earning are just standard elective hours. So credits that a student would take probably, you know, sort of outside of the realm of what their degree would be, just that, you know, everybody takes things they want to take in college as well. And those are electives. So, but you still have to have those electives in order to get the degree. So for our students going to NTI after this, they're able to take what they've learned here and just transfer those 30 hours of credits as electives into this degree program, which gives them a substantial chunk of credits in completing their associates. So instead of leaving here and spending 2 to 2.5 years at NWAC, they can leave here and spend a semester or two at NWAC and finish up an actual degree.
In addition to lessening the time needed to earn a degree, there are other benefits to this new agreement.
As Dr. Gates mentioned, we're in the business of bettering people's lives. You go to school because you want to achieve something out of that, because you want to do better for yourself and your family. And we do a pretty excellent job of that here at NTI, and they do a very excellent job at that at NWAC as well. But for most of our history, students would complete a program at NTI, and they'd have an NTI diploma and a work certification, and they could go directly into a field to start working. Some of those students are hungry for even more. They want to go beyond just the skills and the career training, and they want to go to a degree program as well and add that as a credential to their resume, which really opens those students up for even higher level jobs in their field. If one of our auto mechanics is going to graduate from here, they can certainly get an entry level job at any service department around the area. If they go on and finish that and they actually add a degree to the resume, now we're talking about service manager, now we're talking about parts manager, now we're talking about jobs that go beyond just that entry level because they have this extra credential now. Whereas they could still reach those things by just having a job, but you know, you go in and you start at the bottom and you work 5-10 years, maybe you start to move up. Well, now this gives them an advantage in that, and they can start to move up more quickly. So the direct benefit to them is, A, more education, and that's always beneficial. Education at any level is important and worthy. And then B is it gives them a competitive advantage in what's a very difficult job market right now.
With the success of their partnership so far, Peterson expects the two institutions to continue working together in the future.
I think we have a lot of opportunities to really expand on this. This is significantly huge. And this is just one more step that we've taken with NWAC as sort of an academic partner. So do we want to do more? Heck yes. You know, we'll take advantage of any opportunity that we have. And when those opportunities are beneficial to both institutions, and there's no competition in that at all, because we pull from a very different demographic of students. If both institutions can get involved and we can change people's lives, then we'll pursue as many of these types of partnerships as we have available to us. So absolutely. In the future going forward, I not only anticipate but expect more programs that we do in conjunction with NWAC.
More information is available at nwacc.edu or nwti.edu. This is Ozarks at Large. 5 years ago, we covered the grand reopening of the historic Grand View Hotel on the downtown square in Berryville. It was purchased for $250,000 by an energetic young couple from Louisiana who sought to rehabilitate the crumbling four-story structure. The economic recession and personal illness, however, ended up taking a financial toll. But as Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports, rather than give up, the owners are searching for an angel investor.
Trying to restore a relic in downtown Berryville, population 5,300, can't be easy. Most residents here farm poultry and cattle or work in local factories. The beautiful Kings River just west of town attracts a small number of tourists, and many pass through on the way to Eureka Springs. But otherwise, this is where locals hang out. Town Square, the business heart of Berryville, almost collapsed after Walmart built one of its first discount centers on the outskirts several decades back. The local mercantile went out of business, but the bank's still here. Several bookstores, a Hispanic bodega and bakery, the Ozarks Cafe, post office, and two museums also are here. Things are slowly coming back. That's because the once elegant St. George Hotel, today called the Grand View, constructed in 1902, still stands on the northeast corner. An excursion train once brought visitors to its grand ballroom and accommodations. It changed hands over the decades, then stood empty, until Alexander Verdon purchased it in 2005. But he discovered it wasn't exactly empty. The previous tenant was a hoarder.
The building was completely full, from the basement to the attic. We ended up pulling 250 cubic yards of vacuum cleaners, mattresses, boxes, beer bottles, newspapers, every possible thing that you could think would come out of a dumpster in 20 years, because that's what the old owner was, a pack rat, and he lived in one room inside here.
30 truckloads and $45,000 later, the hotel was cleared of debris. Verdon and his partner, Sandra Doss, then set about restoring the bottom floor lobby and dining room and built a restaurant they named 302 on the Square. Both he and Sandra prepare the food, much of it locally sourced.
We have a a few signature things that we have here. One of them is our catfish. It's our own original recipe, and each fillet is inspected as it's being cooked. Nothing's pre-dusted. Everything's cooked to order. We also have our two original Cajun recipes, a Louisiana chicken and gravy and a New Orleans red beans and rice, which are both my recipes. Sandra does all the baking. She bakes fresh quiche and pies and cornbread and biscuits, and she also makes all the salads and sandwiches.
So. Do you want to walk over to the main hotel lobby and sit down?
Okay.
And you have a hitch in your get-along here. What's up? You got a cane?
Yeah, I need a double hip replacement and a new left knee.
From years of working as a commercial deep-sea diver for the oil and nuclear industry in the Gulf and intensive labor from restoring the hotel, the dining room is gorgeous. All the original molding and wainscoting has been stripped and varnished a deep mahogany, thick walls replastered and painted a pale green. Mirrors hang here and there, creating the illusion of more space. We settle in. Tall glasses of ice water with lemon suddenly appear on the polished wooden table.
That's Connor. He's one of our two wait staff. We have a very small system here.
Connor Reed Silas Jones, a helpful and handsome young man, returns to his station at the hotel lobby desk. But no guests can be checked in. The beautifully restored staircase is blocked on the first landing because the upper three stories remain unfinished. The illusion of opulence on the first floor reflects the period when Verdin first purchased the building, circa 2005, during the economic bubble, but all bubbles burst.
Always did my projects, was to get the smallest loan I could to get started, and then I would draw equity out of whatever project I was working on. And so that way I wasn't carrying as big a loan right from the beginning.
Alexander Verdin was in the business of purchasing, renovating, and selling, mostly houses in Florida and other states, and had property in Hawaii. He also did industrial and commercial film work in New Orleans, where he lived for many years. And he worked as an actor in Hollywood for a time, small supporting roles. Through all that, he learned how to leverage his project financials. That is, until the economic collapse leveled his assets.
The finances is that we've been able to stabilize and tread water, but we can't move forward. And the problem is that my medical needs have become critical.
The hotel's not underwater, he says, nor in default, and the couple are maintaining by sheer determination and restaurant revenue. The 302 has become a popular lunch and dining spot, open Thursdays through Mondays, but the kitchen's too small, so they can't expand. And although his surgery is covered by his VA medical insurance, he can't afford to hire someone to cover for him. Ginger Oaks remembers the hotel being open when she was a little girl and how it anchored commerce on the square. Today, she directs the Berryville Chamber of Commerce, and when Alexander Verdin purchased the site, she said the energy on the town square shifted.
It was just like all of a sudden we knew that our square wasn't going to die, because so many small communities, the squares are boarded up, and they don't look good anymore, and they're not active. There's just a few few cars around town. This square, you can't hardly find a parking place.
A big farm, flower, and garden show is scheduled this coming weekend on this square, and the 27th annual Berryville Ice Cream Social, which draws over 400 people, is set for June 2nd. Ginger Oak says although the townspeople don't have the financial resources to help Alexander Verdin, they totally support him.
We always knew that it had been here as long as we knew of anything being here. It was pretty much what started the town, and made it to where people could come and visit and stay when they came to Berryville, because it was the place to be. Evidently, from the history that we've learned of it, it had the most modern amenities, I think they said, when it opened. It was the latest of everything that there was.
No matter what, Verdin says he will complete and open the Grand View. The upper levels are wired, plumbed, and sheetrocked. Finishing and furnishings are all that's left. So far, he's invested $300,000 of his own money, with he and his partner doing much of the labor themselves. They've sought equity loans from all the local banks. Cornerstone Bank in Eureka Springs is carrying the hotel's note. But equity loans are hard to get these days, so now they hope to secure a private investor for a first mortgage interest equity loan.
We'd be able to finish the restaurant to the level we need to. We'd be able to bring ourselves up to the business level that we could become very profitable. We have an exceptional reputation. We've been able to keep this restaurant open without any advertising.
Burden says with $125,000, he could pay off the banknote, take off time for his surgery, expand the restaurant, finish restorations, and reopen the historic Grandview Hotel, which has been shuttered for nearly 40 years.
I walked past the hotel every time I came down, and I would just stand there and look up at it, and just called to me. I just wanted to see this building come back to life.
Baron Alexander Verdon, his full name, treasures history. He can trace his family roots back to the Magna Carta.
I'm descended from one of the 25 Knights of Runnymede, one of the 25 Barons of Runnymede that signed the Magna Carta.
The Somerset chapter of Magna Carta Barons and Dames, he says. Once the hotel's up and running, Baron Alexander Verdon's next venture is to open an artists' cooperative, already registered under the nonprofit OzArts. And in his downtime to support OzArts and the hotel, Alexander Verdon has just completed his first novel, a horror parable in the bloody vein of Stephen King titled The Four Trials of Satan. And OzArts, clever name, will offer workshops on music and film production.
We're going to teach animation. That's what I was working on prior to. I have a film that's sitting on hard drives right now. That's half done. All the film part of it's a animation and film together, and the film's been shot, and I've started on the animation. And
what's the name of the film?
It's called In the Absence of Sanity.
Right. Film producer, hotelier, Baron Alexander Verdon. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
To learn more about the history of the Grandview Hotel, visit ozarts.org. That's OZARTS.ORG. You can also find the Grandview Hotel on Facebook.com. This weekend, cheese dip and craft beer combined for one tasty afternoon. We'll bring you the details on the inaugural Fayetteville Sip and Dip coming up later on Ozarks at Large. This is Ozarks at Large, and it's Wednesday, May 2nd, 2012. I'm Antoinette Grajeda, and here with me now is Becca Martin-Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
You know, we just rolled by how it could be May. How can it be May?
Because I blinked.
Yeah. And you know, it goes faster the older you get.
That's what I heard, and I'm another year older, so it's another year faster,
yeah.
And I don't know how to do this.
All bad. Okay, this weekend, the Beale Street Music Festival.
Already.
Part of the larger Memphis in May event.
Right.
Includes artists like Jane's Addiction, My Morning Jacket, Florence and the Machine, dozens more. $32.50 for a one-day ticket, $75 for a three-day ticket at Ticketmaster.com. And you can see a full lineup at memphisinmay.org/musicfestival.
Perfect. Thanks, Becca. Becca Martin-Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers. On Saturday, Terra Studios is hosting Spring Music Fest, a fundraiser for Meals on Wheels. Terra Studios will also be celebrating World Labyrinth Day. Event organizers Val Gonzalez and Jamie Ulick recently visited KUAF to speak with Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums about the event.
Well, whenever you guys come in, you don't come empty-handed. My desk right now is full of things. Where are these from?
These are from classes that we've begun offering, and they are short classes, two-hour workshops, really, in being creative in all kinds of medium.
Stained glass to my left? Mm-hmm. Who made these stained glass?
Different folks from the different classes.
Like How, I mean, adults, kids?
13, these particular ones, 13 to almost 60.
Now, this dog, this cute little dog, what is this made out of?
That's made of clay, and we have several clay classes, birdhouse class, fairy house class, leafkins, little clay animals, and crazy creatures, which are created out of lots of pieces of clay that you just assemble and make alien crazy creatures.
So you don't have to have any experience to try your hand at this?
Well, the reason behind it is to take people without experience. And we kept on hearing the thing over and over again of, I can't create, I can't sing, I can't dance. And we're here to prove everybody wrong. You know, we've been robbed of that in our culture because we're exposed to such unbelievable art and such unbelievable music. And then we compare ourselves to people who spent the 10,000 hours it takes to get really good at something. And what we find is if we take something like bring somebody in for a stained glass class and they can sit down and they can learn the basic techniques and in less than 2 hours walk out with something that they made, that they people just get on fire. They are like totally excited. They want to go over and make all kinds of things. We do, you know, we have these silk scarf classes that are just really fun where you can go home and they're all designed to where you don't have to have any bases. It's not, you don't have that entry fee if you want to start something. You got to go spend $300 buying all your dyes and all your stuff the first time or buy your stained glass tools. It's just to get people excited about creating things because it's so important in our culture to bring that back in. We're kind of losing that in our schools, taking art and things out. So we need to re-inspire people. People need to be inspired all the way across just to be creative, to be fun again and play.
Now, people can be introduced to all of these things anytime, but May 5th, you've got a big event that will benefit Meals on Wheels.
Yeah, May 5th is our getting ready to do our spring festival, kind of thinking about it, and we were contacted by the World Labyrinth Society.
And because you have
because labyrinth. We have this wonderful stone labyrinth that the Wards built. And what they asked us if we'd participate because of the labyrinth, and they kind of wanted – it's a walking – the world as one, around the world as one, at 1 o'clock as one in peace is the concept behind it. And we've kind of taken it and said, okay, if we're going to do an event, let's do a big event. Let's do something really fun. So we put it together with our spring music festival. We're following the same format we did last time because we had so much fun. The musicians had a great time. It's going to be a series of song circles. Looks like we'll have between 18 and 22 circles, 5 to 7 musicians in each circle. So it's a lot of different people. You know,
and lots of kinds of music. And the musicians themselves are excited. We were out to dinner a few weeks ago and a local musician came up and said, I heard that was really fun. I want to be at the next one.
And so the circle, someone will be kind of leading it?
Well, actually, no, there won't really be a leader. Okay. There'll be a series of chairs. There'll be like probably 7 to 10 chairs in each circle. They'll be under a little tent, and they'll be spread over the grounds. So you'll be able to wander through the grounds of Terra, and there'll be a little tent, and there'll be a small PA in the center of the circle, and everybody will be able to go. We've kind of put the PA there just so we can get everybody to an equal acoustic level. So everything will be as loud as the loudest acoustic instrument. So, you know, people won't have to push their voices, but it's a wonderful atmosphere because you get to hear people in this really intimate setting. It's like almost a one-on-one setting as people go around the circle taking turns doing songs. You know, a lot of the circles, they're basically circles of friends because, mm-hmm. you know, someone will come up and say, I want to do a circle, and we'll say, okay, get a bunch of friends together that you play with and, you know, come on down and we'll set up a PA for you. And they'll sit around and they'll just play for, you know, two sets. There'll be a noon to 2:30 set and a 2:30 to 5 set. And people will just play and have a wonderful time. The musicians, you know, if the crowd wasn't there, they wouldn't care. They'd have a great time anyway. It's just a wonderful environment. And we had people, Marshall Mitchell bought the Red River Rangers or somebody mm-hmm. out last mm-hmm. time, and they hadn't been together for 15 years, and they had so much fun. They're probably mostly going to be here again. But just all kinds of people are coming out from the woodwork. We've got a Celtic group that people came from all over the state last year to play in. We have a number of different groups. We have a gospel group this year. We have country. We have reggae. We have indie. We have a little bit of everything. everything.
Going to have a didgeridoo by any chance?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay.
We had one last year.
Did you really?
Yes, we had a woman show up with a didgeridoo, and she just sat in one of the circles and took her turn in the circle. We have several people crash the circles, which is wonderful because, you know, then it ends up being musical chairs because people will go from like one circle to the next one because they'll want to play with their friends. And it's really wonderful because you can really hear the at that level, you get to hear the quality of people's voices. You hear the quality of harmonies when people have played together for years, you know, so often in a loud situation. You can't hear the subtleties of harmonies at acoustic levels, and it's just wonderful.
Now, I know you are two people who don't like the word can't, but in this situation works. I can't play a musical instrument. But that's okay. Someone can come out and just listen, right?
Oh, the idea is to just wander from circle to circle and totally enjoy yourself and go to the enjoy the grounds. And as always, we don't want money to be a gatekeeper for people because, you know, it's hard times for some people. And, you know, people with kids, it's always hard times. Mm-hmm. So our attitude is all of our festivals are always free and they're open to the public. And then we encourage people to donate to Meals on Wheels. Meals on Wheels is one of those examples of the numerous charities in Northwest Arkansas that just do amazing quality work that just make a huge difference in the quality of life in Northwest Arkansas. And we really need to get past our political differences, past any differences we have, look at the quality of community we have here, and really work together to just continue Northwest Arkansas as the amazing quality place we have. You know, it's always been – that's one of the unique things about Northwest Arkansas I've always loved is it doesn't matter what your political background is. It matters what we're trying to accomplish.
There's something on the flyer that I've got to ask you about, giant games.
Giant games are something we added last year.
For just giants or
– No. It's 24-inch chess pieces and giant tic-tac-toe pieces and a big hopscotch court and a giant checker set. We had – last year, Chad came in one of our glassblowers, and he was, like, all on fire. He wanted to build a castle. And Val had been kind of looking at – eyeing the old – they had this chess set out there that was, like, glued down, and people are, like, always pulling
it. No, it had nine squares.
People are always trying to move it and do it. So we decided – and I wanted a stage because, you know, I've been doing music things for a while. So we got together and built a castle stage with a giant chessboard in front where we do some of our events, and it's just it's so cool to see, like, a little kid that's not maybe 2.5 feet tall picking up this piece, wrapping both arms around this PVC chess piece and walking it through the moves, and they get it. When it's real, when it's physical, it's not something they have to think through or
intuit
through.
It's not nearly so abstract. You know, they can actually physically move it, and it sort of becomes body memory, and they go, oh, you know, the knight goes two steps and one step. So it's really cool.
It's really fun to watch. It's so cute.
But then we had so many folks wanting to play that we created a checkerboard so that they could play checkers or chess. And then that was fun. So we made a, you know, that's how things go.
And we're going to keep on going. We're adding all kinds of interactive stuff.
I'm going to say, when can we have the giant backgammon board?
Oh, we're looking at
that. The huge die. Really?
Yes, we're looking at
that. And
I had mine out the other day.
You guys, I say, what about a didgeridoo? We had one last year. What about a giant backgammon? Oh, we're working on that.
Yeah.
Well, and
it's like nothing is too preposterous for me to bring up.
Well, do you know?
Well, you may have to come help build it. Yeah. It's too preposterous.
Okay.
You get to help build it.
La Sagrada Familia, the Antonio Gaudi's famous cathedral.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, a friend of ours, Edmund Harris at U of A, who's in the math department, is working with us to do a big math installation where we'll have hanging chains and you can change the arches. And
because on La Sagrada, it was a time where you couldn't calculate what an arch was. So the way that Gaudi did it was to hang chains upside down.
Right.
And he got these perfect catenary arches. So we're creating a series of plastic chains so your teeth will be safe. But where you can go ahead and you can create your own cathedral upside down in chains. And then that's one of our fun projects. But we have a bunch of them we're working on.
Yeah, well, as soon as the semester's over, he's coming out to help us.
He wants to learn how to weld, so we figured it's a great place for him to learn to weld.
Quid pro quo, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so Saturday, May 5th, noon to 5, mm-hmm. the song circles, learn more about the classes, create some stuff.
probably we won't have any classes go that day. We're having classes every other Saturday and Sunday, but that one,
so
all hands are
on
deck.
Yes.
We're gonna we'll probably have, you know, over 1,000 people. So it's, you know, it's don't have a lot of extra staff.
But you can ask questions about
classes. Yeah, we'll have all the examples out and the schedules, so you can sign up that day.
And it's on Facebook. You can always check what this class schedule is. We try to do two classes every weekend right now.
Mm-hmm. So art, music, giant games.
And Walk the Labyrinth for
peace. And Walk the Labyrinth on World Labyrinth Day. No didgeridoo guarantee, but don't be surprised.
No, you can invite somebody to bring one out.
I don't know anyone.
Okay. Well, you just did.
Well, you just did.
Oh, if you have a didgeridoo, go to Terra Studios, noon to 5, Saturday, May 5th.
Yay.
Thank you both.
Yeah, thank you, Kyle. Appreciate it.
That was Val Gonzalez and Jamie Ulick from Terra Studios talking to Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums about Spring Music Fest, which is scheduled for Saturday. Admission is free, but donations are welcome, and proceeds will benefit Meals on Wheels. More information is available at terrastudios.com. Now, if you work up an appetite after walking through the labyrinth, we've got you covered. When many think of Southern cuisine, they think of fried chicken, barbecue, corn on the cob, but cheese dip? As Ozarks at Large's Christina Thomas discovered, cheese dip was first invented in a restaurant in North Little Rock. This Saturday, the first ever Fayetteville Sip and Dip event will bring this local favorite together with another tasty treat, beer.
Cheese dip. It's a staple on many restaurant menus, and it turns out to be a Southern thing. According to the film In Queso Fever, a movie about cheese dip, it was invented in Arkansas in 1935 by the owner of the restaurant Mexico Chiquito.
And so we've taken that and we're making it on our own.
That's John McClure. He's the World Cheese Dip Classic Festival Director.
And, you know, created what we think is the best food festival in Arkansas.
The first World Cheese Dip Classic was held in Little Rock in 2010. That event was so successful, with over 6,000 attendees and 225 gallons of dip, that the organizers have decided to hold regional competitions, the winners of which will then go on to the WCDC. The inaugural Northwest Arkansas Cheese Dip Classic is this weekend. McClure hopes it will be the first of many regional cheese dip competitions.
The idea has been from day one is to take that, what I call spread the cheese dip love to other parts of the country. And, you know, in Atlanta, at Austin, we're looking at Madison and Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So there are a lot of different parts of the country that are interested in doing these regional competitions. And the natural, you know, the first spot was Fayetteville. As the first spot, because there are a lot of good cheese dips in Northwest Arkansas.
Some of those dips will come from restaurants like the Flying Burrito, who will compete on the professional level. Attendees will vote on their favorite professional, amateur, and Greek dip. No, not dips made with feta. The event has partnered with the University of Arkansas Fraternities and Sororities. Fitting, as the beneficiary of the event is the Single Parent Scholarship Fund of Northwest Arkansas. In addition to the traditional cheese dips, attendees can expect to see some with a bit of a twist. In the past, they've seen a lobster bisque dip, as well as a vegan version.
You know, that's a great thing about cheese dip. It's so versatile because you can utilize so many different cheeses, meats, spices, that people's creativity just goes through the roof. And that's what we want to, you know, we want to get the people up in Northwest Arkansas the chance to really, you know, get creative. And you know, the professional division winner wins a trip to Little Rock.
In addition to automatic entry into the World Classic, there will be cash prizes and trophies designed by local artists. After the cheese dippers have cast their votes, they may stick around for Fayetteville Foam Fest, the area's first ever craft beer festival. This event's organizer, Brandon Karn, says that it will be a day full of fun, bringing together two of people's most favorite things, cheese dip and beer, while giving pint enthusiasts and amateur sippers a chance to taste varieties otherwise unavailable to them.
Beers probably that they've never had before or seen at the liquor store and thought about buying but not bought because they don't know, you know, if they're going to like it. And, if you know, craft beer can get expensive. So this will be an opportunity for them to sample some that they've wanted to purchase in the liquor store or sample beers from countries that they've never sampled before, from different microbreweries from across the country.
Ticket holders will receive a 2-ounce mug to sample over 200 types of beer. The beer is provided by local distributors and breweries. Karn says that an event of this kind was much needed in the area.
This region, you know, has got the potential to be craft beer region of Arkansas, with all the college kids and the breweries popping up. So it's just kind of a natural thing to do in this area. And I think we've had good response and people are excited. And
proceeds from the Foam Fest portion of the event will go to the organization Feed Fayetteville. The Fayetteville Sip and Dip is open to all ages and there will be children's activities. The day will also be filled with live local music. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Christina Thomas.
More information is available at cheesedip.net. This is Ozarks at Large. Time now for a trivia question. Today's winner will receive a pair of movie tickets. You'll get a pair of passes to any local Malco theater and a pair of vouchers to any home game for the Northwest Arkansas Naturals at Arvis Ballpark in Springdale. Okay, so today's question, bear with me a second while I ramble. It was on this date in 1945 that the Soviet Union announced the fall of Berlin and the Allies announced the surrender of Nazi troops in Italy and parts of Austria. So this got me thinking about a movie I saw over the weekend. I finally saw Captain America, the First Avenger. Now, in the movie Captain America, one of the bad guys is the Nazis because it's taking place during the time of World War II. And this weekend, the Avengers movie will be opening in theaters. And it seemed appropriate to do a trivia question about Captain America. So I won't make this too difficult. But the superhero Captain America, what is his real name? If you know the answer, give me a call at 800-522-5823. That's 800-522-KUAF. Good luck.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 2nd of May, 2012. It was on this date, 1536, Anne Boleyn, the second wife of King Henry VIII, was arrested for high treason, adultery, and incest. She was intelligent, outspoken. She'd been raised in France. She had educated opinions about politics and religious reform. She came to the court when she was 20 years old to serve as a lady-in-waiting. She soon caught the eye of the king. And for 7 years, he courted her. And for 7 years, she put him off. He managed to get his first marriage to Catherine of Aragon annulled by breaking with the Pope, declaring himself head of the Church of England. And then Anne Boleyn consented to marry him. Their early months of marriage were happy ones. Their first child, a girl born in 1533, Elizabeth. Anne had several miscarriages after that, and she never gave Henry the son that he so desperately wanted. So he accused her of every capital offense he could think of, affairs and incest with her brother and plotting his murder and witchcraft, and she was convicted and sentenced to death, beheaded by sword. In her last letter to Henry VIII, Anne Boleyn wrote, "Your Grace's displeasure and my imprisonment are things so strange to me that what to write I am altogether ignorant. Never a prince had a wife more loyal in all duty and in all true affection than you have ever found in Anne Boleyn. But if you have already determined of me, and that not only my death but an infamous slander, then I desire of God that he will pardon your great sin herein, and likewise my enemies, and that he will not call you to account for your unprincely and cruel usage of me at his general judgment seat, where both you and myself must shortly appear." It's the birthday of Dr. Benjamin Spock, born in New Haven, 1903, author of the Common Sense Book of Baby and Child Care, which came out in 1946, which began, "You know more than you think you do." It was the parenting Bible for the post-war moms and dads raising the baby boomer generation. It's the birthday of Jerome K. Jerome, born in Walsall, England, 1859. It was he who said, "I like work. It fascinates me. I can sit and look at it for hours." And it was on this day, 1885, Good Housekeeping magazine went on sale, offering housekeeping tips, parenting advice, product reviews, and fiction. the Good Housekeeping Experiment Station tested and evaluated consumer goods, and products that passed were given the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval, which became part of the language. Here's a poem for today by Howard Moss, entitled Making a Bed. I know how to make a bed while still lying in it, and slip out of an imaginary hole as if I were squeezed out of a tube. Tug, smooth, the bed is made. And if resurrections are this easy, why then I believe in all of them. Lazarus rising from his tomb, Elijah at the vertical. Though death, I think, has more than clever household hints in mind, and wants the bed made once and for good. Making a Bed by Howard Moss from his new selected poems, published by Athenaeum and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, celebrating 100 years of discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetryfoundation.org. And by CenturyLink, linking Americans and Fortune 500 companies to what matters most. Learn more at CenturyLink.com. Edited by Noah Smith, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
All right, so today's trivia question was inspired a little bit by history and a little bit by fiction. It was on this date in 1945 that the Soviet Union announced the fall of Berlin and the Allies announced the surrender of Nazi troops in Italy and parts of Austria. This got me thinking about Captain America, the First Avenger. It's a movie I saw over the weekend, and the bad guys are Nazis. So with the Avengers movie coming out this weekend, I thought it would be fun to talk about Captain America. So my question was, what is Captain America's real name? What is his alter ego? The answer is Steve Rogers. I will put the names of all of the people who called him with the correct answers in the ceramic cow, and I will draw a winner in just a minute. An evening of music benefiting Fayetteville Animal Shelter and local food pantries, presented by ProSound Consulting, will take place Friday, May 4th from 6:45 to 11 p.m. at 3780 North Oakland in Fayetteville. There is no charge for this event, but non-perishable food items for a local food pantry, as well as items for the Fayetteville Animal Shelter, will be accepted. For more information, visit prosoundconsulting.com. Inspiration Point Rural Fire Protection District will host its Firehouse Fundraiser Barbecue May 5th from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Station Number 1, which is located on Highway 62 West, just 7 miles west of Eureka Springs. You can come out and support your local firefighters and get a close-up look at the fire trucks. Live on stage in Northwest Arkansas presents Nashville jazz singer Anna Wilson Sunday, May 6th at 2 p.m. in the Arend Art Center in Bentonville. This show includes a union of country, jazz, and pop that pays homage to Nashville's musical roots and presents country standards like You're the Best Thing That Ever Happened to Me, Walkin' After Midnight, and Nightlife. 855-9997 or live on stage nwa.com for tickets and more information. The Boston Mountain Potters Association's annual spring sale will be at Mount Sequoia Conference Center in Fayetteville on Saturday, May 5th from 10 to 6. Local artists will offer a variety of functional and artistic handmade pottery. Directions to Mount Sequoia are available at mountsequoia.org or 650-2555 for more information. A listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas, this is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville Rogers Fort Smith CAPS. And CAPS, in case you didn't know, is in Boone County. It's located just west of Harrison. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Thanks so much for listening. Tune in tomorrow at noon for an all-new edition of Ozarks at Large. Your host will be Ithiagni Hotri-Madulker, and I will be back on Friday along with my co-host, Christina Thomas. Have a great Wednesday.